Super Bowl. Didn't she ride on some mechanical lion? I think she did. She rode on some mechanical lion as her entrance, maybe, or to start a particular song. Jay, you can Google it and let me know. Gosh, that feels like 6 or 7 years ago now, maybe farther back. Anyways, I hear her sing, and I remember the lion on which she rode. I want you to check out the video. It jogs my memory of the video that we have up for you on both Twitter and Facebook. You guys, no joke, it's a real lion, duh, not a mechanical lion, and he makes real growling noises, and he's real scary. So we are going to talk about the World Cup here in a second, but a former Olympian and Fox soccer analyst, Melissa Ortiz, decided she would visit a lion at the Sydney Zoo to ask whether or not the Lionesses, England, will win the Women's World Cup. Now, she decided, well, and the lion trainer, the zookeeper, decided it would be a good idea to feed the lion through the fence. I mean, this is not more than a chain link fence. It's pretty thin. And so they feed this lion. And then Melissa decides to verbally prod said lion and get right up in his face and ask him whether or not England will win the World Cup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Check out the video. We'll play the audio for you because that's enough. But you got to check out the video on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Yeah, you're asking for trouble when you get in a lion's face right after you've given him some meat, a slab of raw meat, and then she decides to take it one step further.
That's a no. It's a no. Straight up no. Is England going to win this World Cup? Okay, I guess that's a yes. That's a yes. That's a yes.
Not only does the lion lunge at her and growl at her, but he puts a paw right on the fence where her face is. Had there been no fence, her face would be gone. I'm trying not to be too graphic on this Monday morning, but her face would be gone. That lion, as Jay said, wanted to eat her.
I have it in another still frame now where he is literally looking her directly in the eyes as he's finishing up what's in her hand, and his plan is to eat her next. If that fence, like that's what he's going to do if that fence isn't there. It's wild.
Oh, it's wild, all right. I probably would have peed myself, but even so, I might have fallen over when the lion lunged at me. And that's the thing, the fence is right there, but it doesn't matter because the lion, he's real and he's angry and he's not playing around. If that fence is not there, she's a dead person.
It's World Cup! Okay, I guess that's a yes.
Yeah, the lion doesn't care about your World Cup aspirations. So make sure you check it out. We've watched it so many times that we still can't. Even though we know it's coming, it doesn't matter. Lion is lunging at her face.
The faith that she has in that little fence.
That little bitty fence. It's fence faith.
I don't think I have faith in anything as much as she has in that fence in this entire world. There's no way.
On Twitter, After Hours CBS, and on Facebook, too. Good morning to you. It's a Monday. Judging by the traffic around New York City, which is where our CBS radio headquarters are located, on Sunday night, there was still so much traffic on the highways trying to get to and from and everywhere around New York City. A lot of you who maybe took your summer weekend away or were on vacation waited until the last second to return home. My next door neighbors did the same thing. I was coming into work as they were pulling back into their driveway. So people wait until 11:30, midnight, 12:30 to try to avoid the worst of the summertime traffic, which then means you turn around, you wake up on what is a very painful Monday morning. So we're here to keep you company. Glad to have you with us in the wake of Hall of Fame weekend in Canton, Ohio. The great Joe Thomas inducted along with 8 other Hall of Famers with not just the gold jackets, but the bus. Really cool, emotional weekend too. And Joe, rightfully so, was the last one to take the stage because he was local and there were so many Browns fans there. So make sure you check out the videos that are up. Watch the speeches if you haven't. Maybe we'll get to this tomorrow night because we don't have time on this edition of the show. I say tomorrow night, sorry. Monday night into Tuesday morning. Did you hear the story that Marcus Ware told? He'd never told it anywhere else before about a seminal moment in his life, and it had nothing to do with football. Scary. A moment in which he had to make a decision with his life hanging in the balance. And so I don't want to give anything else away. If you haven't seen it, DeMarcus Ware, and it wasn't just him. It was others, too. It was Joe Klecko talking about 30 years waiting to get into the Hall of Fame. It was about Darrelle Revis and I mean, for him, not even wanting really to play football. For the Barber twins, you know, it's a family affair. Just some really cool experiences that were shared. But this one with DeMarcus Ware, you just can't help but play the what if game. What if he had made a different choice? What if he had, I don't want to say anything else. I can't. I don't want to, don't go ahead and read it. You got to listen to him. So whether you wait to hear it here on the show, I promise we'll get to it Monday night. So that's the Hall of Fame weekend in Canton. It means the NFL preseason is off and running. And I shared this briefly last hour, but I'm going to say it again. We are exactly 1 month from the start of the 2023 NFL season. 1 month. September 7th is the very first game. It's opening night. It's Thursday night football. Ooh, is it on Amazon? Do they do opening night on Amazon? Oh, that's going to ruin everything. Well, not everything, but it's not optimal. I'm going to look it up. Thursday night football. Remember last year they didn't start until week two, or I think it was week two. Did they start week two?
They should make the first opening night not on Amazon, but you know, a lot of money involved. So I'm sure they will, but I'll try to confirm.
I'm going to check the schedule. Maybe they, I can't remember whether or not they did it. No, they start week two again. So the same thing as last year. Yeah, we do not have to watch. Sorry, Amazon. I do have actually have Amazon Prime. We do not have to watch the opener on Amazon Prime for people that weren't big fans. I figured out the routine where I would watch on my laptop so that I could still watch other events, other sporting events on my TV. Yeah, exactly. It starts to get pretty convoluted. But week one will not be on Amazon Prime. Instead, it will be on broadcast TV. And that's exactly 1 month from tonight. What?
It gives you that tingle.
It definitely does. Oh, speaking of giving people tingles, we'll have to debate this at some point. Maybe we'll give them both another month to impress us before we get to the actual season. But then we have to choose. Is it Mike Tomlin or is it Dan Campbell, who now wears the crown proudly? Best coach press conferences, best goofy coach moments. We're not supposed to be laughing, but we are. Already this preseason, we've gotten the hype train from Dan Campbell.
The hype train.
Yeah, we've already got him. He's so fired up for joint practices. No one in the history of the universe has ever been more excited for joint practices than Dan Campbell.
We're going to get every look you could possibly imagine.
Our heads are going to be spinning.
It's going to be chaotic. Guys are going to be, their heads going to be spinning.
It's practice. He is a goof. We talking about practice. Could you imagine he and AI having a conversation about practice? That would not go well.
We talking about practice.
Yeah, no, Dan Campbell is fired up for practice and wants his guys' heads spinning even at practice. Well, now we've got something new from Dan Campbell because we can't resist. So Coach Campbell is asked if he feels the, quote, weight of responsibility with all of the attention and the hype train surrounding the Lions. Does he feel the extra weight of responsibility?
I don't feel weight. I feel wind underneath my freaking wings, man. That's what I feel.
Truthfully?
Truthfully.
It uplifts you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this, man. This is outstanding. I love our fans. I love that. And they feel it like we feel it. And no, this is not a burden. This is not pressure. This is not weight. This is, man, this gives me inspiration is what it does for me.
He almost started crying. He goes from, I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic, to we're back in the dumpers again, to the hype train, to we're going to bite off a kneecap, to our heads are going to be spinning. It's going to be chaotic, to almost crying over the fact that the Lions are in the spotlight. And he feels not the weight of responsibility, but the weight of the wind beneath his wings, which doesn't even make
sense. I feel
wind
underneath my freaking wings, man.
He completely
That's ruins, what I feel.
He completely ruins the Bette Midler song. Did you ever know that you're my hero? Anyway, I guess we could use that for some of these coaches, right? He turns it into the wind beneath my freaking wings.
The wind underneath my freaking wings, man.
We already have a special open, meaning a piece of production that we start an hour with here on the show that's entirely Dan Campbell. And we have one from Mike Tomlin. I don't know. We might have to turn this into a competition. Let's make it a 2023 competition. Who has the most quotables, Dan Campbell or Mike Tomlin? Jay, I think we might have to keep a tally starting with week one. We won't start until week one.
Week one.
This is our coach version of fantasy football.
Do we have to put Mike McCarthy in there?
Mike McDaniel. Love Mike McDaniel.
He's good for a good job now.
I think he's goofy.
He is.
Who else would we put in this group? Not Bill Belichick, because we can actually predict what he's going to say before he says it. Who else is really salty? We do love Pete Carroll. He's funny too.
He's good. But he hasn't been as salty lately. He was in such a good mood all last season. So
we don't want to include Nick Sirianni because he goes on these long diatribes, and half the time you think, like, what are you talking about?
Andy Reid has good bites, but he's not really ever angry.
About burgers.
Yeah, about food.
We do get good Andy Reid bites about burgers. We're going to eat cheeseburgers together. Who else? Who else would give us good stuff? Not Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
Not Josh McDaniels. Blech.
No, he's not.
Oh, best. Kyle Shanahan. He gets very salty.
Shanahan gets
especially
salty.
Especially when you ask him about quarterbacks. He's not having it. As if it's our fault that he's had 17 different quarterbacks since he got to San Francisco or Santa Clara and started coaching the Niners. How is it our fault that you don't have a starting quarterback that you can keep for longer than four games?
Like, I don't like playing this game.
We don't like it either. How about get a starting QB and then we won't have to talk about it?
As long as I can keep surviving press conferences.
But we go into yet another season with the Niners, and what's the story? Three quarterbacks who all look really good. It's Brock Purdy. It's Trey Lance. Is it Sam Darnold? It better not be Sam Darnold. But last year, it was Trey Lance. It was Jimmy Garoppolo. It was Brock Purdy the year before. I mean, I could go on and on. I get it. They've gone to back-to-back NFC Championship games, so the revolving door at QB has not been a major impediment. Well, until, of course, your last one gets hurt. And then I forgot who went in for them at quarterback when they last year in the NFC Championship.
Was it Josh Johnson?
Was it?
Right.
It was so memorable that I forgot. It was awful. Remember George Kittle's on the sidelines trying to cheer up his forlorn QB Brock Purdy and makes a joke about being ambidextrous, and Purdy not only can't smile but won't even take off his helmet. He refuses to even take off his helmet.
Did not even chuckle for a second.
No, there was no chuckling. That was actually I love NFL films and how they present the videos, the montages of everybody being mic'd up or the best moments of the season being mic'd up. They went back and did championship weekend, a lot of Kelce stuff, but they have this exchange between George Kittle and Brock Purdy, and Purdy, all he can do is no. Yeah. He shakes his head. He won't take off his helmet. He's so upset. Was it Josh Johnson?
It was Josh Johnson.
Well, that's an impressive memory that you pulled out of the nether reaches of your brain, Jay. I don't. Can you even remember what you ate for dinner three nights ago?
Three nights ago? No. Oh, maybe no,
it was Friday night. Pizza. Yeah. That's only because you eat pizza every Friday night.
Pizza's a Friday night.
Yeah, this is why I know what Jay eats, because as long as I've known him, he and his family eat pizza and sometimes wings, sometimes garlic knots, but it's always pizza. And is it always grandmother style, right? Grandma style
not
pizza?
Not always. Mix it up between regular grandma.
You don't mix it up. You eat pizza every Friday
always,
night.
It's pizza for sure. The garlic knots are usually a staple. You got these new things now. They have these like buffalo rolls and like barbecue kind of rolls.
Uh-huh.
They're good. Yeah.
Even when Jay's family is not around, he still eats pizza by himself on Friday night.
Of course,
he has to. There's something wrong. If Jay's Friday night does not include pizza, his entire weekend is thrown off.
Oh, it throws me all off balance.
He can't sleep. He can't drink alcohol without his pizza.
No. So, it's hand in hand.
Stop it. Let's not spread that. All right. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, please, please, please go look at the video of Melissa Ortiz with a lunging lion. What? Why are you such a dummy? Don't do that. And then on our Facebook page,
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
Coming up next, the reason why we're talking about the Lionesses winning the World Cup is because, because there's no Team USA to stand in the way of anybody else. The top team in the world is out on penalty kicks in sudden death. And yes, it is as bad as it sounds. Thanks for joining us on this Monday morning, exactly 1 month to the other football, the superior football, Football Day Americano. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Such a strong start for both of these sides. Not equally impressive in the finish.
Partey. Up there. Did it go in? Waiting on a signal. No.
You've got to be kidding. Well, they're waiting. They're going to check. VAR can intervene. I couldn't tell from here. I thought it was going in, but it happened so quickly. Wow. Sweden wins.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I did not catch the round of 16 game live because it was 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. But Fox Sports did replay the game in its entirety on Sunday afternoon when I caught it. I knew the result of it, but I didn't know the flow, the ebbs and flows, and how lopsided it really was for Team USA when it came to the number of shots. Do you know they had 22 shots on goal to just 9 for Sweden. Sweden generated very little offense. Team USA actually had a new formation. For those of you who are into soccer, their coach, Vlatko Antonovsky, he changed up their formation and really solidified their defense. They controlled the ball a good portion of the time. They kept it in the Sweden zone, but point-blank shot after point-blank shot, good look after good look, they could not find the back of the net. And while they made their first 3 penalty kicks, then they hit the skids. And you hear Megan Rapinoe, who is now retired from Team USA, Sophia Smith, one of the newcomers, but considered by many to be the best player in the world, at the very least one of the top 3 players in the world. Remember, she had a pair of goals in her World Cup debut. Very first game for the Americans against Vietnam, she had 2 goals in the first half and then didn't score again. And when it came time for her penalty kick, both she and Rapinoe, they got the Swedish goalie off balance. The Swedish keeper dove to her left, leaving the net wide open. And both Rapinoe and Smith completely misfired. Just missed a wide open net. For Rapinoe, the ball went up and over. It sailed high on her. For Sophia Smith, it was high and it was right. Rapinoe said after the fact, and she had this smile on her face. It was really a look of incredulity. Couldn't believe it. She said after the fact, she doesn't remember the last time she missed a penalty kick. Sophia was taking it a little bit harder than that. She cried over it, as you can imagine. But yeah, the Swedish goalkeeper, who'd been so good for the entire game, had stopped them over and over again. As I say, point blank. I was practicing her name earlier. And it was clear that she was the player of the match. But the net was wide open. She had exited stage her left. Or no, her right, our left. She had exited stage left. The net was wide open, and they just missed. And so as much as they can point to how it's a game of inches, blah, 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 it's pretty clear that the women had so much trouble scoring that they were playing with fire. It came back to bite them in the rear. How often have I said that about the men's team? The men's team frequently plays to draws. And then because they don't put their opponents away and can't generate enough offense, it comes down to points for qualification. It comes down to how many points they managed, not did they win their group stage. I never thought I'd be saying that about the women at the World Cup, but for the first time ever, they're out before the semifinals. They're out in the round of 16. And here's the number that I think is important. 238 minutes without scoring. In four games, they had four goals, not including penalty kicks, of course. Those are not goals. Four games, four goals. Three of those goals came in the opener against Vietnam. One goal over the next three games. And so no matter how many good looks they got, they could not put one in the back of the net against Portugal, who's not even ranked in the top 20 in the world. And had it not been for Portugal hitting the post in stoppage time, they would have been out anyway. But they end up scoring no goals against Portugal, nothing against Sweden, one against the Netherlands, and that's the last time they scored. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So yeah, Julie Ertz, an emotional interview with Jenny Taft on Fox. I mean, it was really the case with all of these teams, all of these players, how emotional they were.
It's tough. I mean, you never... Obviously, we're proud of the way that we played, but we didn't put anything in the back of the net. I mean, the penalties was tough as well. I think for me, it's just emotional because it's probably my last game ever being able to have the honor to wear this crest. So I think it's just, you know, it's just tough. It's just tough. Like, I feel like it's just an emotional time. So it absolutely sucks. I mean, penalties are the worst. but it's an honor to represent this team, and I'm excited for the future of the girls.
Just devastated. Feels like a bad dream. And I don't know, the team put everything out there tonight. I feel like we dominated, but it doesn't matter. Then the day we're going home, and it's the highs and lows of the sport of soccer. So yeah, it's just doesn't feel great.
Two outgoing veterans, more than likely. I don't know that we have a definitive answer on Alex Morgan, but the team played a lot better when she wasn't on the field yesterday. And I love Alex. Alex has been an icon. She's one of the reasons why the women's team, the women's national team, now has equal pay at the World Cup. She is one of the staples and building blocks of women's World Cup soccer, not just for Team USA. She's an inspiration all over the world. She continues the tradition of, I mean, going back to Brandi Chastain and Mia Hamm, and then on through, gosh, Abby Wambach and Carly Lloyd, who we're going to hear from in a second, to this current team. Alex Morgan, Julie Ertz, she believes it's her last World Cup. It's her third. Alex may not be invited back, or if she is. Do you remember the role that Carly played in the last World Cup? So going back to 2000, it was 15, right? July 4th week when she had the three goals in the first half of the championship against Japan. And it was such a banner moment. It's probably one of the top moments for Team USA in their entire history. She played in the next World Cup, but it was a reserve role. And she really struggled with it. She didn't enjoy being in a reserve role. It's tough for top players. So Alex was subbed out in this game at the 99th minute for Megan Rapinoe. And there's been a lot of chatter about how she may not make the next World Cup team because she's not as explosive. She's not as fast. I admire her so much. She returned to the national team after having her daughter. And again, she was part of that fight for equal pay. But you can imagine that there's a lot of question marks about her. Megan Rapinoe is also retiring. So those three are done. And then there's just the general process for the next 4 years. Not only different tournaments and camps, but you have to qualify. You have to make the team. Alyssa Nair was in goal for this Team USA. She's awesome. Actually, she had her own penalty kick, so she was among the Americans who scored in PKs. Didn't try anything fancy, just kicked it straight at the center of the net, and it went right in because her counterpart for Sweden dove to the right, and Alyssa's kick just went straight down the middle. Anyway, it was she who had to wait for the replay. She thought that the last Swedish goal didn't get over the line, waited for the replays, you heard on Fox Sports, and she was one of the first to speak up.
We just lost the World Cup by a millimeter. that's tough. Proud of the fight of the team tonight. You know, I think we knew that we hadn't given our best in the group stage, and we wanted a complete team performance, and the team came out. I thought we played great tonight. A number of great chances. Hats off to the Swedish goalkeeper, obviously. A number of fantastic saves on her end to keep it 0-0. That's a tough one for sure. We'll go around. We'll pick our heads up, and I'm just proud of the battle, proud of the fight of the group. I think we showed that American mentality again. That's been standard for this team. Come up short hurts. It's going to hurt for a long time, but proud of the fight of the group.
You hear at the beginning, Alyssa says, oh, and she refers to Mushevich, which is the Swedish goalie. Zakira Mushevich. All right, that's the best I can do. Anyway, Alyssa says, we just lost the World Cup by a millimeter. First of all, they weren't competing for the actual World Cup yet, so they hadn't even gotten there yet. But come on. 238 minutes without scoring, you didn't lose it by a millimeter. There were so many opportunities. You can only play with fire that long against some of the best teams on the planet, and they're gunning for you. You can only play with fire that long before you get burned. Now, remember, earlier in the World Cup, Carly Lloyd was critical of her former teammates and this current iteration of Team USA, and she got a lot of flack for it. Even one of her old teammates, Lindsey Rann, who's the captain now, called it noise. The manager, he went after her as well, and they really took exception to the fact that she was so hard on them. So now the question for Carly, again on Fox Soccer, did the U.S. Women's National Team lose the World Cup by a millimeter?
No, it was not a millimeter. This was years in the making. This is going to haunt the players. I'll give them credit in saying that they came out and they played. They played well. They just didn't score a goal. But you can't stay complacent and not evolve. And that is exactly what has happened. This is on the players. This is on Blacko and Andonovski, U.S. Soccer, that has contributed to this failure and this exit at the World Cup. The team was not prepared. And a lot of these younger players, we're going to see a new era. And a lot of these younger players, I hope, we'll use this as a huge learning experience to get better in the future.
I wonder what happens when the World Cup is done, whether or not these teammates of hers who are retiring reach out to her, she reaches out to them. As I'm speaking as a female, sometimes when we get our feelings hurt, we feel like we've been betrayed. It's hard to let that go. And especially in an emotional situation like this. So I hope that her job and the job that she did, which I thought she was great. I love Carly, and I thought she really did sink her teeth into the preparation and the job. She did not hold back. And she explained, I'm passionate about this because I poured myself into Team USA for years. I've played on the highest stage. I play at the highest level. I know what it means to win. I know what it means to fail. It means so much to her, she said. That's why she's passionate. And that came through. And it's great TV. She, not that she was about ratings, but the ratings and the clickbait, when Carly Lloyd was in fact criticizing Team USA in the response, that's exactly what Fox is looking for. Exactly what Fox is hoping it'll get from Tom Brady, for heaven's sakes. But I wonder whether or not she will reach out and whether or not her teammates will understand the job she had to do. I hope so. She's in an unenviable position, but she's also really good at it. And who else could better speak to this team and its failure than Carly? So we'll see what type of changes there are moving forward. But yeah, massive wasted opportunity. And now it doesn't come around again for another 4 years, which is the hard part about the Olympics or the World Cup. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, producer Jay, I don't have service in here anymore. DirecTV has gone out because of the weather. But is England still scoreless with Nigeria?
Yes, they're in the 95th minute, 0-0.
All right, so the English women, the Lionesses, if you will, are still alive in group stage, but are also potentially facing penalty kicks if no one scores here. But it gets dicey. Once again, the lion at the Sydney Zoo was asked whether or not England will win the World Cup by Melissa Ortiz, who's part of Fox Soccer. I don't know if this is a yes or a no. Oh, I thought you had it, Jay. I'm sorry. I thought we were like communicating via our ESP, but you clearly did not read my mind. So that's my fault. I put Jay on the spot. He was not smelling what I was stepping in, essentially. He was not reading what I was. He's not picking up what I was putting down. All right. I'll totally accept responsibility for that. I thought we loved the lion. I thought we went to hear from the lion again. How could you not get me? I thought you got me. I thought you understood me. It's too late now. I don't want to hear the lion anymore. No, I'm good. Don't play the lion.
How about Jay? Dan Campbell?
I mean, he is a lion. It's the hype train.
The hype train.
We're back in the dumpers again. That's how I feel right now.
In the dumpers again.
I feel like the show just went completely into the dumpers head first. We got smacked by the lion and fell into the dumpers head first. At least I have company in there. Because
is England going to win?
No, no, no.
It's World Cup! Okay,
it's too late. You don't get to trot out the lion and act like you actually were feeling me. You don't get to pretend like you... No.
I'll explain in the break.
Oh, you don't want to explain it to the entire world?
It's not worth it.
Okay. It's not worth it. I'm pretty sure everybody wants to know, but I'll spare you that. I'll spare me that. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Forget hearing the lion. Just go watch the lion try to take off Melissa's face on our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here it comes. A swing and a smash to first by the diving Vaughn. Down the right field line. Kicks into the corner. Ramirez on his way to second. Head first slide. Safe and in to score is Jimenez. And another hustle double. Right over the bag at first. Now Hosey and Anderson square off. They're fighting. They're swinging. Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson. Went in with a head first slide. Hosey never gets upset about anything. They came up chewing. Anderson squared off. Hosey decked him. It's a 5-1 Chicago lead, but everybody from the dugouts and the bullpens congregated around second base. You never see Jose Ramirez get upset like that. And Tim Anderson was on the wrong side of that punch.
Oh.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
First of all, Tom Hamilton could definitely be a fight announcer or a Stanley Cup playoff announcer because he's got the fighting down. So dramatic. Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson.
Down goes Anderson.
Love it. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to probably because it's the brawl that seemingly never ended. It went on and on. Had like various iterations, 3 or 4 different times where you thought it was done. It flared up again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you haven't seen it, it's out there for your viewing pleasure on Twitter, on any type of social media or YouTube, anywhere. Jose Ramirez, with his translator, explains after the game why he fought Tim Anderson.
I think he's been disrespecting the game for a while. It's not from yesterday, but from before. And I've been having the chance to tell him during the game, don't do this stuff, that's disrespectful, don't start tagging people like that. Because in reality, we're here trying to find ways how to provide for our families. And when he does the thing that he does on the bases, he can get somebody out of the game. So for me, I was telling him to stop doing that. And then as soon as the play happened, he tagged me again really hard, more than needed. And then he just, his reactions, like he said, I want to fight. And if he wanted to fight, I just had to defend myself.
All right. Maybe defend yourself is taking it a little bit too far. I understand that players don't love it when opponents take liberties. And sometimes it's about feeling as though they could have been hurt. I don't know if in this situation he was really going to get all that hurt. But I guess he issued a warning to Tim Anderson to keep your hands to yourself. Tell me no lies and keep your hands to yourself. And also thought there was a little bit too much emphasis placed on the tag. And there was contact with the head. So I'll say that too. I don't think that through the helmet he was going to have a bruised noggin or anything like that. But he doesn't want any contact to the head and neck. There shouldn't be any contact to the head and neck. But it was in the heat of the moment with an RBI double, if I remember correctly. So, yeah. There's history there. Jose Ramirez doesn't like Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson doesn't like anyone. Even after his teammates hold him off the field, he goes running back out there. He's jawing at Terry Francona. Then another teammate gets a hold of him, has to throw him down the clubhouse stairs. So, yeah, Tim Anderson was out of control. And no doubt he will be hearing from Major League Baseball, as will Ramirez and Terry Francona and Pedro Grifol. I mean, there's likely to be suspensions for multiple guys. But Ramirez, whether or not he felt it was warranted, whether or not Tim Anderson said something to him that he felt was an invitation to fight, which is how he put it, and I had to defend myself, it doesn't matter. As Francona points out, you know what, you have to be able to not only keep your temper in check, but keep your hands to yourself.
When you're my age, you're just trying to help. I mean, I didn't appreciate the fact that I thought Anderson, you know, once he had like 11, 12 guys in between him, that's when he started. Yeah, and I said something to him. I think that's probably what their manager was yelling about. But, you know, it's hard because it's hard to let somebody speak to you like that and not say anything. So emotions, that's okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of emotions running high. And it was even more emotional once Ramirez and Anderson went after each other. So they were ejected. This goes back to Saturday. They were ejected. Guardians and White Sox also lose their managers. As I mentioned, Francona, he gets tossed out as well. And now baseball has to determine the discipline, and you know that they generally come down harder, all these leagues do, on repeat offenders. Anderson has a bit of a history of being a hothead, right? I don't know about Ramirez because you hear not only Tom Hamilton, Terry Francona stumping for him, which is obviously their job, but he did take the two of them put their dukes up like they're in a ring.
That was a legit fight. They almost, it's almost like
they're stunt doubles on some film set.
It's almost like their teammates around them like had like a pact where they gave them like that opportunity for each of them to try to throw a punch. They weren't going to break it up yet because they were standing there squared off.
It looks a lot like a hockey, like, right? When they, not before, like sometimes when they pull the gloves off,
right?
But when the helmets are yanked off or whatever else, and they actually put their dukes up because they're going to go at each other. Yeah, but you have this whole kind of ripple effect, though, after those two guys go at each other and Jose does, in fact, knock Anderson to the ground. And so then it's a free-for-all, really, and you hope no one gets seriously injured.
I'm not sure I know everything. you know, or before it started, I know that Anderson was yelling at Arias. Because I mean, I think the umpire went and told him to knock it off. And then when Jose slid in the second, I think Jose felt like he kind of stood over him. And then things got away from everybody.
Yeah, Francona mentions that Tim Anderson had already received a warning from one of the umpires because he was talking smack at at one of the Guardians players. So they were trying to keep tempers from flaring. It clearly did not work. And so, yeah, the White Sox Guardians became relevant for the weekend. And actually, I think I saw this. Anderson did not play on Sunday. According to his manager, he had a planned off day. Yeah, maybe he had a big shiner on his face, too.
Maybe.
Yeah. Although it didn't seem like Ramirez hit him directly. It didn't seem as though he hit him square, but you never know. He could have a broken nose of some sort.
It didn't seem that bad to me. But then when Anderson
would you stand there and take the punch?
It just didn't seem like he connected like squarely from the video. But then Anderson's struggling to walk off the field.
He is. So you never know. I mean, concussion is always a possibility, but then Jose Ramirez would have to eat his words about how it's someone's livelihood. I did see that Ramirez got a standing ovation from the fans, actually. So that took place. The fact that they were cheering for him and stuff, cheering for him. I mean, he was there in Cleveland, so they were proud of their guy.
Down goes Anderson! Down goes Anderson!
Now, on the heels of that, the Lion wanted to fight. Make sure you check out our video, A-Law Radio, or on Facebook. Would you stand in front of the Lion and take a punch? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!